You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hello, everybody.
What's up, Lon?
How's it going? We got some tea to spill, but before we get into that...
Yeah. Before we get into that, let's talk about this week's episode of The Other Way, Season 3, Episode 5. And I thought we can start with Ellie and Victor.
So for me, it's a tragedy. I don't have much to say in terms of where their relationship is going, though. So I think they definitely showed us the island, the aftermath of the hurricane. And I feel really bad for the people there, as well as for Victor and his family and for the homes that were lost. But they really didn't progress, to me at least, the relationship, except for raising questions, which to me are kind of obvious, right? The ending scene where Ellie is like, oh, I don't know if I can stay here. There's a lot to think about. I can't live in a place with like no medical and no infrastructure or whatever. So that was kind of where it was left off. And that was the only key takeaway, which wasn't really much of a takeaway at all, but it was informative to kind of give us a glimpse of, not even a glimpse, that's not the right word, just to show us what happened on that island and the damage that hurricane brought. But other than that, I didn't get much from where the relationship was going to go from here.
Yeah, ironically, the hurricane that hit them was called Iota. Let that sink in.
But who named it that?
No idea. But I did some research, and according to Al Jazeera, it was Hurricane Iota. It's a Category 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how devastating it became. However, I mean, I guess the positive news that came out of a Category 5 hurricane is that according to Al Jazeera, it only claimed one life. So that wasn't too bad considering the devastation that hurricane left behind.
Right.
That said, to according to the government of Providencia, which is actually the Colombian government, 98% of its infrastructure was damaged. So
90%?
98.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's an unlivable place to be.
Uninhabitable.
Totally. Yeah.
So are there people there still?
I don't know what is happening right now with the island, but those scenes were being filmed in November of last year when this hurricane struck. Anyway, I have a quiz for you.
Let's go.
What do you think is the native language of Providencia?
Well, if it's Colombian, then I would think maybe Spanish or Portuguese.
It is not.
What is it?
I'm actually surprised by this, but they speak Creole.
Oh, Creole. Yeah.
Yeah, except okay. It's their brand of Creole. So it's called the San Andreas / Providencia Creole language.
Is Creole also like part of French, right?
Yeah, it's Afro-French. Or right. Is that how you call it? Afro-French, maybe? Yeah. Or Afro-Franca. I don't
know. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So it's probably because it's in the middle of Caribbean Sea. And yeah, it's not really a Spanish territory probably before that. It was just, I don't know how.
That's good trivia.
I know, right?
That's really good.
Yeah. And another fun fact, it is actually closer to Nicaragua than it is to Colombia.
Nicaragua.
Yes,
Yes.
Nicaragua. So it has a population of 5,000 people. So I do not know how those 5,000 people are doing, but hopefully they're surviving well. I don't know how Ellie's doing right now. Hopefully we'll find out more during the tell-all, how she and Victor are coping with what is happening right now at Providencia. Hopefully they're not there. Maybe they're at San Andres or in mainland Colombia.
Right. Or we might see them on 90 Day Fiance. 90 Day Fiance.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing, Lon. I thought the wisest move for her after finding out that there was a Category 5 hurricane would be to cancel her trip. And instead of her going to him, she should start the process of him coming to her.
Right. What was the original reason why that couldn't happen originally? Do you remember? I forgot already.
I don't know. I think she just
She
decided
just wanted to
to,
go there, right?
yeah, she wanted an island life, maybe. Maybe she felt like the US
I can see
dollars would
that.
stretch more at
I can see that.
Providencia. Essentially, she'll be living like a royalty, right? But knowing what she knew back then, I don't know why she didn't want to cancel the trip and instead get him over.
Maybe she's running away from something.
Yeah, from the IRS. Good for her. Nah, she can't. Even unless she denounced her citizenship, she's not really running away from the IRS. And I'm not saying that she owes IRS money, but I'm just saying, like, you who wants to pay the IRS, right? Anyway, before I digress, I figure we can move on to Jenny and Sumit. Who needs to commit?
Oh, okay. So for me, the first part of it was more eye rolling. Let's just get on with the story. I'm kind of over this. What do you expect her to do? So what are you gonna do while they're fixing the bed and stuff? What do you fucking think she's gonna do? You have her fucking like stuck in her room. She can't do anything. But the ending scene, I'm more sympathetic. Just because now it really seems like he has no allies right at this point, even his brother, right? And with them bringing in a new family member, he was even like, oh, I didn't want this to happen, and blah, blah, blah. So even people who are maybe sympathetic at first are now not having any of this stuff anymore. They just want him to move on from this notion that they're going to get married. And I feel bad that his brother's wife was like, well, you shouldn't have said it like this. You should try to tell them. And he did. And he said it. I did try to tell him. And that's true that he totally did. And the parents, they weren't with it. They weren't having it. So, he really does at this point, he has to, after this episode, I would say, okay, enough is enough. Nothing's going to change. The mom walked off, the dad walks off. You have to understand that you are alone in this. And if you want to be happy, you just got to go ahead and fuck all of them and just marry her because there's no one on your team anymore. There's no one pulling for you. If that's the way that everyone's going to act, then I'd be like, all right, well, I'm choosing me. Right. So I think if anything, he should have a moment of clarity that they're just not going to accept this. And it's time to pick a side. None of this half-assing it. You promised her you would marry her. She came over here for you based on these promises. It's time to pay the piper.
Yeah. Unpopular opinion here.
Let's hear it.
As much as I empathize with Sumit's parents, I find his mom to be very manipulative
Yes.
because I think part of the reason why he doesn't want to move forward with the marriage is because he doesn't want his mom to do stupid things like kill herself. And I get it, societal pressure is a real thing and it comes in different form. And they've already explained to us what theirs is, right?
That was interesting too. I'm glad that they shared that aspect because it made it seem like the dad was sympathetic, but that the entire community would disown them as a family. So right. you kind of have to understand that too. And I'm glad that they shared that.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic everywhere. I'm guessing for them, it's more of a very communal slash villagey type of environment where they need each other or they help each other along the way. Maybe it's close-knit type of community where they know each other, they talk about each other a lot. So I can understand that. I can definitely understand that. I get that that generation is all about saving face because that's my parents' generation too. But I don't think she should be manipulative, and I don't think she should be threatening Sumit with talks of killing herself or doing something stupid, because then that puts him in a tough spot because now he has to choose between Jenny and his mom. And I get it. He's an adult. I think a lot of us in the Western world sees it as, why can't he just grow some balls and just do the right thing and just get with it with Jenny, just go and marry her, right? They've had this relationship for almost 9 years, for almost a decade. So I think if I'm Jenny, I would have left a long time ago.
It's Jenny been... just needs to leave.
Right.
Make it easier on him. And that sucks, right? It's another one where the woman's going to have to sacrifice and make it easier for the guy to do it because the guy is going to do it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, she just has to do it to improve her quality of life. Mm-hmm. Because one, I don't think she wants to be in a family that doesn't love her back. So, yeah. you know what I mean? And it also kills two birds with one stone. Now he doesn't have to choose between him and his mom, because that is, like you said, I'm glad you brought that up too. It's easy for us to say, man, you should just do it. Just do it. Just do it. But you're right. When your mom has threatened you with suicide, that's heavy. That's fucking heavy. And we found out, what was it, the previous season mm-hmm. that she did that?
Yep.
That's totally manipulative. But at the same time, that's what he's facing.
That's his reality.
Right. The idea that his mom will kill himself if this goes through. So do him and you a favor and just say, I'm not doing this anymore. And I'm
leaving. Yeah, take the L.
Right. You don't have to choose between me and your mom. Your mom is happier and Jenny can be happier living the rest of her life and putting this behind her.
Yep. Speaking of behind, I just suddenly thought of how that scene where Ariella was trying to
get blessed with the
holy water. And her nanny was like, you're back, you're back, you're behind. You have to get your behind. Yeah, I was going to ask you, Lon, like, what do you think of that scene? And also, do you believe in the concept of miracle / holy water?
Kind of. Okay, so I lived half of my life as a practicing Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is devout Catholic. So it's hard to let those ideas go. Nowadays, I'm not so much. I like the idea of Jesus Christ and the symbolism behind Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ and things like that. But all the tricks, you know, that we see in movies and all that stuff, not so much, you know. Oh, if you believe in holy water and stuff, or, you know, if you hold a crucifix or something evil, it'll shriek away. Ah, get that away from me. I don't think that happens, right? But again, it's hard because when you've been taught these things, when you've been indoctrinated into these beliefs and you've held them for so long, and who's to say that it's not your mind believing these things? Because the mind is a powerful thing, right? I think there have been studies that have been done where people who believe it, can actually turn things around. You know, I think there is some science behind it. Do I think it's all a miracle and that it's all miraculous? No, I think there are sometimes there are some people who are good at selling, you know, illusion or on selling belief, where they take advantage of the science of belief and the science of the rules of attraction, where if you keep a positive mindset, good things come and good things happen.
Right.
But I don't want to completely dismiss it because I don't know, right? Yeah. Prove that there isn't a God. We'll prove that there is. Well, then, okay, there's right. There's two sides of that coin. Yeah. But I get where those beliefs come from. because I was such a devout Catholic and I was raised under a devout Catholic upbringing. So I know where that comes from. I get it. And at any point in my life too, I could change. Maybe I'll find myself wanting a miracle, and traditional medicine hasn't helped. And it's one of those Hail Mary, excuse the pun there, attempts where I'm just like, let's give it a shot. Let's go to this holy place that has healing fountains or healing waters, and let's see what happens, right? And that's where he's coming from. He's saying that he had a relative or something who was cured because they bathed in that water or something. So it's tough to take that away from anybody who's experienced something miraculous.
I was also thinking, you know what else is powerful? H2O. Water itself is a cure.
Stay hydrated. Cleanse, bathe frequently.
Right? Cool showers. They're good for the brain. They wake the mind up. But yeah, I too come from that belief system of consuming holy water that comes from the grounds of Mecca that can heal you or has healing properties. And I mean, I'm a bit of a skeptic, but I do not want to discount the healing properties of water itself.
Right.
Maybe even the origins of said water. So I can't say for sure what that, yeah. I'm not a subject matter expert in that, but I do have a bit of skepticism, I guess.
Yeah. And it's almost a cop-out, right? Because she says, well, what if, I forgot how she phrased it, but his response was, well, you have to believe.
Yeah, you have to believe in it. That's the number one step in a lot of faith-based stuff, right?
And if it doesn't work, well, you didn't believe enough. You didn't believe hard enough.
It's almost psychosomatic, right? It's a placebo effect is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you believe, that's the thing though. What if you really believe and nothing happens? And then there's that argument, oh, well, maybe you had some doubts, or you didn't pray hard enough, or it's the Lord's will, and there's a reason that this is happening. So it's,
all I know is it must be nice to have a nanny follow you around.
Was that the person that was naked behind her?
No, that was like,
that was somebody else. Okay.
That was I guess the shaman, or I don't know, the guide.
Priestess.
The priestess, or the, what you call it, the caretaker of this holy water place. I thought it was creepy too that Beanie and his son were, not his son obviously because he's too young, but Beanie was peeping through that and saying, oh, your mother is taking a bath, and then there is her and the naked lady.
Yeah.
I thought, how about some privacy for them?
It was a good scene in terms of comic relief. I was dying. I was laughing my ass off.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just water, but the way she described it, and I think I know what she means, when water is heavy and it's falling on top of your head like that. And, and then it's on top of it, it's really cold.
It's cold.
So she's all shriveled up and she's
And someone is literally turning her around. Yeah. She felt.
She's like, oh.
I would say she felt forced or woman handled by someone external. That she doesn't know. Before we move on, I do want to contribute this quote from someone on Reddit that says, it's a meme basically of Ariella bathing, the same one that you tweeted on our Twitter account. But the caption is, bathing in holy water is so crazy, quote unquote, but barebacking strangers on vacation is not. That's damn savage. But that's Reddit. Anyway. All right. Speaking of barebacking stranger, this is not even a good transition. I don't know what else we can talk about. Well, how about we go with a bit of, I don't want to say soap opera, but it is very tear-jerking. And I think you know what I'm going to talk about here is Armando and Kenny's love story.
This hit me hard. And I think it probably hit everybody hard unless they don't have that kind of relationship with their parents. But I think I speak for a lot of us, or maybe even a majority of us, that we've always wanted to make our parents proud. Yep. And to hear those words, much more to hear them under the circumstances that Armando has had to live in, you know, where he's afraid that he's not accepted by his dad, or he has to live with the idea that maybe he's an embarrassment to his family and to the community because of the way he is and how that reflects on his family. So that part really got to me. And, you know, they already queued the piano up and stuff, so I knew something was coming. Mm-hmm. The thing was, I expected it to be like something positive, but I didn't expect that. And maybe I should have, but when it came out, it was still kind of shocking. Like, whoa, he just said it makes him proud, you know? And I'm against this sort of thing, not about the conversation that transpired, but them maybe filming such raw emotions. Because sometimes it almost seems like they're maybe taking advantage of Armando, or maybe Armando had given them consent. I don't know how this all works, but it almost seems like you're going to film like such an intimate moment. You know what I mean? Is this for the ratings or whatever? But still, I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad that from the series or from the show, we were able to experience this with Armando and his dad. But yeah, that was, it's always tears with fucking Armando and Kenny. It's heavy. But it's always the wholesome content, I think.
Yeah.
They've always been the wholesome couple, and you can always go to Armando and Kenny for those kind of highlights. And then this one did not disappoint. So I was hoping the convo would go well. I'm glad it did. Still maybe on the fence with what's going to happen next. I think the dad kind of tried to play it off pretty well when he said, well, I don't go to these things anyway. Like, no offense to you, I just don't do these things, you know? And then Armando like threw it back at him, was like, nope, you can't, you were at the wedding. You can't say that you were at this wedding, you know, but I can get that too. I'd be like, yeah, so I was. You can't pull out the one exception, you know? If you know that I don't go to these things, you can't just pull that one exception out and say that I owe it to you.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I want him to be at your wedding, Armando, if you're listening, Armando and Kenny. I'm not saying that I don't want him to, or that this is justified, but that, hey, if he's kind of that guy that's like, if I go, I go. Like, well, I mean, that's still not as bad as saying I would never go. Like, how dare you even invite me to this sort of thing? I would never. It wasn't like that, right? It was like, well, you know, I don't really go to these things anyway. So you try to play it off like that. And I was kind of like, okay, do I want him to go? Of course. Of course I do. I want him to share that moment with his son and to kind of cement that this is okay and that you're all a family and you can share these things. But at the same time, if weddings are to him are like Americans do the same thing, nah, wedding, nah, whatever. We'll just send him a gift.
Yeah.
Like I kind of get that too. So anyway, how did you feel about it?
So remember what I said in our last recording, that it has to be baby steps with the dad? And I guess I was right, because it's not about him not accepting Armando as his son, right? I think the sweetest thing he said during their conversation was that he cannot take Armando out of his life because Armando is part of him. I think I broke down.
That was the joke moment. Like,
yeah, no. There was like, ooh, hit me hard there.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you're right. They shouldn't have filmed this because it's such an intimate moment that I don't know if the rest of us deserve to share with them, because I feel like it should be between the son and the father.
Right.
But anyway, whatever it is, I still stick to my whole concept of baby stepping this with Armando Sr., because again, we just talked about societal pressure with Sumit's parents. I think with Armando's parents, there's also a level of societal pressure. Mm. And I think that's why Armando's mom wasn't able to bring herself to tell her husband about the engagement.
Mm.
And it's probably the same reason why the dad even said, like, he accepted them, but he doesn't want to say it out loud. He doesn't want to announce it.
Oh, that's because, just right. Because I'm not like announcing it to everybody. Right.
Right. Did say because
that. Yeah,
I guess speaking it out loud, I guess he's not ready for that. he's not ready to tell people that he's proud that his son has found true love, or he's happy that they're now engaged. But I think he's heading towards the right direction, you know, with how he's saying he's open to getting to know Kenny. He's just not ready to scream it's at almost, the top of his lungs about
it's like the dad is also in a relationship with Kenny, right?
Right.
It's like, I'm not ready to tell everybody yet.
Right. I guess for him too, it's he has his reasons. It's society, you know. It's like he's proud of them, but he's not proud of them enough to go tell his friends about them. Because I think he's not sure how to go about it, or he's not sure how their family is going to be viewed by others, right? Because, again, this is a very staunch Catholic community. This seems like a rural area of Mexico where probably they don't see a lot of same-sex couple.
Mm-hmm.
I still see a lot of this as progress. I just think that it's going to be baby steps.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of baby steps, I have bad transition, y'all. Because I don't know how to link these people. I thought maybe we can talk about Evelyn and Corey, the schmuck that told his friend slash frenemy slash Evelyn's ex all about him and Jenny and expecting him to keep it a secret. Like, what? You're truly a schmuck, man. You're a schmuck, and she throws you under the bus in front of her parents. You both deserve each other. Way to go, people.
Yeah. So, okay. Corey, I don't know. I don't like Corey anymore. I kind of did. I kind of was on his side. I was like, oh, he's a generous guy.
Yeah. This
season has changed my perspective of him a lot.
Yep.
He was speaking to, what's his name? Was it Juan? Or
Raul.
Raul. Yes, Raul. And he said he was telling Raul everything that went down and that they were going to get a place together.
And he's going to meet her parents.
Met her parents. Wait, like, this is serious shit. You're married. You're fucking married. You're gonna.
He just smeared himself. He put out his own smear campaign against himself. Who in the right mind would do that? I guess he must really trust Raul. But again, what a schmuck.
Schmuck, yeah. But even worse, husband.
Yeah.
But I guess he said he thought they were over. No, you're not over. You're married.
Yeah,
like, it's not over until it's over
until you get papers.
Yeah, you know, everything you have in the box to the left, bro. Like, come on.
Right.
It's like, dude, you're going to move in together, and it was that serious, but you're still married. And here's the thing. I didn't like it when he said, I just don't know what to do, bro. What am I going to do? You know what to do, the right thing. And that's how Raul even put it. No, you got to do the right thing. Corey knew what to do. He was hoping that Raul's answer would tell him to do the opposite of that, would say, oh man, I completely understand. You definitely got to hide this. That's what he was hoping for. That's what he was hoping for.
Someone to co-sign and his.
Someone, right, to co-sign what he, no, you know what to do. It's not what you want to do. You know what to do. It's not what you want, and you're hoping Raul would side with what you want instead of what you should do.
Yeah.
And Raul was like, if you don't tell her, I'm going to tell her.
Like, but this is such fake drama, though, with where it's heading.
You think?
Because Raul's advice to him is to confront Jenny or break up with Jenny, kind of close the chapter with her first.
Evelyn. Oh, wait. No, Jenny from Peru. Sorry.
Yeah. And right. Then come clean to Evelyn, which sounds like he said, quote unquote, Venezuelan soap opera.
Yeah. But that's also the right thing.
It is the right thing, but it's
because he led the other person on. So he has to do right by her as well. Do you see what I mean? Because if he doesn't, Jenny, who thinks, oh, I have a boyfriend, you met my parents, we're gonna move in together. Could you imagine her finding out this
that he's married?
Yes. And so I totally forgot that conversation. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes.
So Corey is the American summit in a way.
He's terrible, man. This guy, I don't know. And the family is going to hate him. The sisters already do.
Yep.
And like I said last episode, he brought it on himself.
Yep.
You knew these things. You knew you were married. You're getting in a relationship. And then when she said, hey, let's talk about getting a house together, you should have shot that shit down. Or came correct and said, well, you know what? I'm married. Let me take care of this first. Like, do right by somebody. He's definitely the guy that's trying to have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
He's keeping his options open. And then, you know, going with whatever works out best for him.
Yeah,
it's fucking selfish and he's hurting people in the process.
Exactly. My notes here says, Corey just needs a dominatrix and Evelyn just needs to bang random tourists. I don't know if that's nice to say, but they're both bad for each other, but yet they're meant for each other.
Yeah.
They're both damaged. That's why I think it's fake. This whole drama is just so fake, but we'll see what happens. I think it's going to get messy once he comes clean to Jenny in
it's
Peru.
It's messy already.
I know.
It's already so messy.
But now we're going to have to meet her and see yeah. her reaction. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's end it with Steven with a V. Or should I say Perf with a V and Alina.
Perf with a V. Look, I don't understand. Some of this comes off fabricated to me.
Okay.
Because Steven, the reason he's on the other way, the reason this show even exists is because you want to get married and you're flying out to the other country to meet who you fell in love with. And let's do this. You're doing this under a time crunch. Like by the time you're buying airplane tickets, your mind is made up, or it should be made up. So then for him to go, well, I'm not ready, you know, and I think we've had this argument too, when people are getting into the 90-day process, we're like, the 90-day process is to finalize things, not to,
yeah,
not to not really to, just figure shit out.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So, it's for wedding prep. It's yeah. not to test your love, because you would have already made up your mind by then.
Right. And the thing is, even before, I'm pretty sure that he had his mindset, this is the girl I'm going to marry. And the reason I'm flying over there is to marry this girl. So for him to be all backpedaling now and say, I'm not really ready. And you're more ready than I am for this. This was the end game, bro. Like, unless you were toying with her emotions or you just wanted to fly out there to have some sex or whatever. I don't know what your intent was, but if your intent wasn't to marry this person, why are you even fucking there? That's just really annoying and it's frustrating. And I can understand if you're frustrated because of all the hoops that you have to jump through, but that's not how he worded it. He just said, no, I'm not ready. He would have been better off saying, ah, oh, this is just a lot of stuff to do. This is a lot of pressure. Can we even do this? Maybe we should just hold off. Even if he worded it that way, it would have made sense to me. Yeah, I kind of get it. Like, maybe we should really prepare first and get this stuff out of the way. That way we're not rushing. We're not trying to do this under 30 days. We could just knock this out of the park over a certain length of time. But for him to say, I'm not ready and you're more ready about this. And she was hurt by that, right? Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So he's super annoying. He gets more annoying with each episode. I still think they're an interesting watch. But this one really just was like, man, what are you talking about, Steven with a V?
Yeah. I think he was more ready to eat a watermelon than to get married, unfortunately. So that's really sad.
Really, but yeah, watermelon.
Yeah, seedless watermelon, maybe. But I'm starting to see how this is a glorified 90-day vacation for them. Because here's the thing that really made me suspicious of this whole setup is how I feel it's common sense for him to do the research before he comes to Turkey, mm-hmm. before they go to Turkey, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like all of this could be a simple email. Because mm-hmm. remember when they were at that lawyer's office and he listed out all the steps that he had to do?
Right.
And they were shocked in a way. And then Stephen asked if he should be taking notes or if he can print out some sort of instruction for them. And this guy said, well, I can email it to you. And that's when it hits me. Like, if all that can be emailed, why can't Stephen reach out to someone in Turkey when he was still in Salt Lake City, you know, figure out what steps he needs? Because now, let's say for argument's sake, he didn't do this research, right? Right. Now he has to go to Ankara, the capital city of Turkey, to get some documents. And then she has to go to her consulate, which is in another city. And it's a lot of logistics. And maybe this can all be done within 90 days. But then the fact that now he's not quite ready, like, what is he waiting for? Is he waiting for the last 10 days of that 90 days to actually be ready and get married? Because I don't know. I just think that we kind of already know the outcome. She's still in Russia based on her Instagram account. Mm. He's double dating Chantel and Pedro with another chick. Yeah. I just think that comes back full circle here. That's why I think this is a 90-day vacation, not a 90-day the other way where we want to settle down at some place. I think this is just him being, I don't know.
Maybe it's vacation and he was hoping he'd get lucky.
Right. Trying to get late.
You tweeted something out earlier that made me raise an eyebrow. You said, how do you prove that you're single? Was that part of the thing? I must have missed that.
Yeah. So the lawyer told him that they have to produce a document, I guess, to the Turkish marriage consulate or marriage, whatever, right? To prove that they're single. So I'm like,
here's my divorce papers that say I never divorced, right? Or I was never married.
Someone replied to that tweet to say that you can actually go to the U.S. embassy, for Americans at least, to get that paper. But I'm like, how do they just type on Word document like so and so is single and then notarize it?
You gotta have the letterhead. Or they do their research, right?
Like, how do they know that the person is single? Like, do they run a database of all the marriage registry in the whole of US? Like,
maybe marriage registry.
That something. Takes time, dude. I'm pretty sure. Like, that's a lot of red tape, I'm guessing, especially if you're doing it outside of the US. So yeah, I've never heard of that document. That is so weird.
That's
So I don't know. I also want to say that if I'm Alina, I would pack up and go back, because if I'm with someone who randomly hitchhikes, that's a red flag to me.
Yeah.
I mean, first, you're showing me that you're cheap. You don't even want to like Uber or, you know, ride share. I'll grab a cab. And you'd rather hitchhike with some rando? Come on, man. I wouldn't feel safe. As a woman, I wouldn't feel safe.
In a country that you don't speak the language, you don't understand.
And he fucking winged it. Like, he was trying to speak broken Turkish. And it's one thing to speak it. Like, I can speak German. Would I understand German? No.
Right.
I can speak it because I learned it, but I'm not fluent enough to understand it. So if someone were to speak German back to me, I would be like, hold on, slow down. Even with Spanish, like, if I can speak Spanish, but can I understand Spanish? No, that's a different level of understanding the language. And I think for Stephen, I think he just picked it up like maybe a few seconds ago, and he decided to hitchhike and speak broken Turkish to ask this random stranger to bring them somewhere. And I thought either that's a setup by TLC or he's really that crazy and creepy.
Here's the thing. Like,
he even said if something wrong would have happened and he would have a vibe about it, he wanted them to jump out of the car. How would I, as a woman, feel safe with that?
Yeah. So the way I see it is like, it must be nice to be a white male, right? To not have to worry about the same things kind of that we think about, right?
Yeah, the rest of us worry.
He's a white American male, so I think he thinks that the world is his oyster, which it kind of sort of is, right? He doesn't have to worry about, oh, if I get into this mysterious car, will they understand me? Will I understand them? He's not thinking that. He's like, I can fucking do this, right? There, you didn't have to worry about maybe them driving off into some secluded place and him being put in harm's way
Yeah.
These are things he does not have a care. He does not worry about.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's why he feels brave enough to do such random shit, which according to him gives him such an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if that was not set up, if I'm the camera crew or if I'm like the producers chasing him around, I would be pissed because that's out of my control. I mean, they have the mic, so you can hear them, which is why like when they were talking in the car, I'm guessing the camera people were following them from the back. You can still hear them. But because he hitchhiked, they can't put a camera in some...
In the car. Know,
yeah, because it's not prearranged.
Right.
So I would be pissed because I'm like, dude, you're out of control. You're unpredictable. How am I going to film all of this if you're going to jump into some random stranger's car?
You know? Yeah. The crew is looking at each other like, this fucking guy right here.
This asshole. Come on, man. But yeah, I also want to say that I understand why Elena is pissed. Well, upset, right? That he's not ready because him not being ready tells her that he's not ready to be monogamous.
Right.
So, because I think that's one of the concerns is that he still wants to date other people. I mean, that's
he's
them in the
cold
relationship.
Feet.
Right. Yeah. But it's not just him getting cold feet, but the fact that he's not ready to marry her kind of shows that maybe he still wants to test the waters, you know, like shop around. So, and being Mormon, I guess that's not helpful too. So I can understand why she's really upset about it, as she should be.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Lon. We've come to the end of episode 5. What is your WTF moment?
For me, again, I think, was it Corey for me last episode? I forget. But it's Corey for me this episode.
Yeah, it was.
Just because he keeps, because I found out he was
married.
That if the math was correct, he was married at the time. And for the same reasons, it's Corey again, because the more he reveals, the more I'm just mind blown. You know, when he revealed that they either were going to get a house together and then he met the parents and stuff, I'm like, but you're a married guy. How do you expect to walk this out or walk away from this unscathed? Like, no. Or did you have complete disregard for your wife's feelings or how you were going to face her family? Again, no repercussions, right? Is it because we're Americans that maybe we think this way, that we can just go and do these sorts of things? Or is he just a dumb guy and he's more selfish than I really gave him credit for? But that was mind-blowing to me that he would get that far into another relationship as a married person.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. That was mind-blowing too. But maybe Corey's just sick of Evelyn's.
That too.
And he's like, well, if she kicked me out, like, she's dead to me. I don't know. I don't know what goes through his mind, but he, being the schmuck that he is, he probably thought that was over.
He still has a ring. And
I know.
All that money invested into the bar. There's just a lot, right?
And the restaurant.
And the restaurant, yeah. So there's a lot. I don't know. At one point, he wanted this person to be his wife. So you would think that he would fight harder. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in these fucking 90-day fiance universe people's heads, man.
Yeah. Well, mine is the same person as last week. It is still Steven with the V. What is up with hitchhiking that looks like carjacking?
That's what it was.
With the jazz hands, making eye contact. Dude, that looks like you're about to carjack
someone. It didn't look like that person stopped of their own accord, okay?
Right. He made them stop.
He made them stop.
Yeah, and the person probably didn't want to knock him down.
That's totally like Grand Theft Auto, man. He put his arms
such a
out
GTA move.
Stop him. Yeah. that's not hitchhiking, bro.
I know. Yeah, I cannot get down with that. Like, that's not cool to me. No, that's no bravery. That's stupidity. But
yeah,
I fear for her life, to be honest. I fear for her life. And I saw that. I was like, what? They did that? And I'm surprised she was actually calm and collected. I mean, she did ask the right questions too. She was like, well, what if he doesn't take us to the place we wanted to? Or what if he goes off and kidnaps us or something? And he said, well, that's when you open the door and jump out off a moving vehicle? Like, what the fuck is this guy prescribing? Like, what? Anyway, that is my WTF moment. All right, Lon, I thought we can do some tea time. WTF tea time.
All right.
All right. So what's been going on in the 90 Day Fiancé universe? Well, we can start with Big Mike and how he's doing. So
I saw an Instagram post. You did, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So it looks like Big Mike has moved on with someone that looks like she might have been from Brazil, I think. She looks hot. She looks pretty. And I'm kind of glad that he moved on. It seems like she's not in the US, or maybe I'm wrong here.
Yeah, I don't know. I just saw the photo without any of the context. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, good for him.
Good for him, right?
Good for him.
On the flip side, apparently Natalie has been posting old photos of them on her Instagram.
Oh, Natalie.
Natalie's trying to reminisce, maybe?
Trying to hold on to the fame that she's going to lose. Once
trying to hold on to not getting deported, maybe? Trying to hold on to that green card.
Yeah. Bag has been unsecured.
Right? Like, poor Natalie.
Poor Natalie, but less of a victim after what we found out of the tell-all, right?
Yep.
So.
And then in other news, Juliana, do you remember her? The model from Brazil that's with the older guy, Michael, who has really cute kids who are very outspoken. They have this blended family.
No.
So
was she with a guy in Chicago and then they broke up and then she went off somewhere and then now she's on the single life?
No. That's Fernanda.
Fernanda. Okay.
Juliana is this chick from Brazil that I think she failed her green card interview in Brazil. And he flew over to support her. And then she somehow managed to get her green card. And she came over and she had to get along with his ex-wife. And they have these two cute kids, Max. And I forgot what the daughter's name is, but they're adorable.
Okay. I just saw a photo. Yes.
So
I love Juliana. Is she okay?
I think she's okay. But they're separated. Apparently she now lives in Germany.
What?
And apparently he's broke.
What?
Yeah. Apparently the house that he bought with her or for her is now on foreclosure.
What happened?
I don't know. A lot.
I need to know.
I know. But yeah, there's a TikTok of her where she's really unhappy about being asked if she's still with Michael. I think she doesn't want to talk about the status of their relationship. So mm-hmm. that tells us that they're probably not on good terms. And there's hints of like either separation or an impending divorce. So yeah, it's too bad.
Wow.
Yep. And then I don't know if you know, but Ron and Betty, Brendan's parents, are on Pillow Talk.
I'd have to watch it. Because again, Pillow Talk's one of those shows where characters I didn't really like, they seem more of who they are IRL in front of the Pillow Talk camera.
Yep.
And they're likable. And I'm like, oh, wow, they actually seem like a really nice couple here. Whereas they're more dramatic and stuff for the 90 Day cameras. But on Pillow Talk, for some reason, they get along, they're laughing and they're likable. And I'm like, huh. So I would have to see it.
They're actually pretty fun to watch. Like they have very snide comments about the scenes on the show. So I think they're okay, but I think not many people are liking the choice of them being on Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll
I'd have to see it because you can tell that these two people, they want to be on camera.
I told you, right? They're media savvy.
Yeah.
Like they know what to say in front of the cameras. That's why I think they kind of deserve it, but I can understand why people don't want to see them. Shall we end this whole thing with the Darcy and Stacey finale? What do you think?
Yeah. Darcy and Stacey finale. I don't want to see another season.
But too bad, there will be another season.
There is, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think we've had enough. The reason I was a fan of Darcy, let's start there, not Stacey, Darcy, was because I thought it was really entertaining to see her burst into Waterwork. And, you know, I was entertained. That sounds so bad to say. I was entertained, though.
Yeah, dude. When you say that out loud, I'm like, you're entertained by her misery?
I know. It was bad. It's bad. I was entertained. It was funny when she cries and then her outbursts, right? You never loved me, you liar. Right? Like when she was yelling at Jesse. Like things like these are classic moments of the show.
Yeah.
Very, very entertaining. She's really emotional and it made for good TV. Guilty pleasure, right, is the best way I can put it. I liked it. Did I feel guilty about it? I fucking did. Yes. Okay. If there's any takeaway or any redeeming factor there, I feel bad. But at the same time, it's good, right?
so bad yet so good.
So yeah, so that's there. And I figured, you know, a season of Darcy's spinoff would be good. And when the first season of Darcy and Stacey came out, I was like, okay, it's cool. Maybe one or two episodes. But the rest of the season, I was like, okay, a full season may be a little bit too much, but it was fine. It was fine. And now we have another season. And I think this is the third one, right? Or is
this is the second. The finale was the second.
Yep. And the second proved to me that another season is one too many for me.
True.
And the way this one ended with just more self-sabotaging, with them going out and getting more work done. No offense, really, to people who get work done. I don't intend for it to come out negatively. But if this is all we're going to see, this is the substance of the show, is we're just going to watch her continue to do this for another season, then I don't want to see it. And then for her to have these double standards with Georgie, why aren't you making the steps to improve yourself is how I want to say this, right? She blames everybody but herself. And mm-hmm. Now Stacey's here to enable that.
Yes.
And to say, you know what, you deserve better. You know what, he was wrong. What is she doing wrong, though? Are you pointing these things out? Are you pointing out the double standard that she's pissed off because he crossed a line talking to Jesse when you drew first blood when you went and met up with his ex-wife?
Yep.
So it's fucking annoying. And they're just enabling each other. And it's not entertaining anymore for me to watch.
Yeah. Lon, I know you don't want to explore this whole plastic surgery thing, so I figure I'll be the bad cop here.
We can explore it. I'm just saying I don't have anything negative to say. Let's go there.
Again, I totally 100% agree with you. I don't think we need to see another season of Darcy and Stacey. It's not only the toxic relationships that I cannot get behind, right? The double standards, obviously, it's one jarring reason. But also the fact that they make excuses for wanting to get plastic surgery or for wanting to improve their looks. And then again, nothing wrong with that, but don't disguise it as empowerment. You know, we get it. You have House of 11. You're the face of the brand. We get it that you want to look better. You want to look like a Kardashian doll. We get it. A lot of people want to do that. We get it. That's the trend right now. And you have the money to do it. You know, fine. But I think where they cross the line is when they, like I say, disguise it as empowerment, that, you know, it's the new me, you know, this is the new me, like, I feel like a new woman, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you're still the same self-victimizing, toxic right. person that you are, and your sister is an enabler.
Right.
Like, just say you want to look younger than your age.
You want to look, yeah, you want to look young, and yeah. you're into this trend of looking like the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And you want to have a social media profile right. that you want 100 hits on or more.
Right. You want to be whatever. Like that. Right. And again, this applies to Larissa as well. I think why a lot of people don't like this whole transformation is because she claims, oh, she's doing this to support her kids back home. Okay, so okay, you get a boob job and then you get another one and then another one and then you fudge your face.
It's like when she got two more boob jobs.
Dude, you should see her latest photo. It's like a blow up doll at this point.
Oh my God.
It's sad. I think when people like that go for surgery, right? Okay, yeah, you want a better nose, you want to have big boobs or whatever, right? Like for example, for Darcy and Stacey, they want to, you know, they want that lifted boob, so because, you know, they've breastfed, they have fat tissue. Okay, we get it. But then like when do you stop? When is it enough? And when will you just be honest with the rest of us to say, like, yeah, I want to do this because I don't want to look 46. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just say that. Don't, like, market it as this is a new empowered me. No, you're still the same old Darcy that will burst into waterworks and self-victimize.
You're marketing it like you're making changes, but you're not making any of the changes that matter. That
matters. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're saying it like you are, like, oh, I'm better and we're moving on. And
yeah, this, like, I don't need a man, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to get surgery because the old me
is
putting away the old me and this is the new me. You are the same you.
Yeah.
You just, let's just be real here. Surgery, right?
Darcy will always look for a European guy. I would be surprised if she doesn't. Like, if she decides to do a 180 and decide to go for local men. Okay, maybe I'll watch season 3 for that. But I think it's going to be the same cycle. It's going to be like, she's going to poke holes in her relationship. She's not going to trust that guy fully. And then somehow she'll find out that the guy has some dark past that she cannot get over. And then she will say, like, oh, I'm a strong woman. I don't need that kind of, you know, I don't need this in my life right now. And then she goes on to do another boob job or whatever, nose job or lipo or whatever. Like, I don't know. But I think what she really needs to fix is inside, you know, like how she can get over her insecurities, how she can get over the trauma of being teased as a young kid, you know, as a twin. I think she needs to work on that. She needs to work on the inside. And then she can love herself.
No cap. You know, it started off good in the first season. She's going to therapy and stuff. What happened to that shit? That was just
optics, man. That was just for show. We know that she didn't go back.
Didn't the therapist even tell her, you need to work on these things? She's like, yeah.
And then we see her running really fast on the treadmill. Like, let's be real. She doesn't do that. She throws money at the problem. That's the thing is. I mean, I get it. She has the money, right? If some of us have the money, we would just throw money at the problem. But I don't like how she markets it as being empowered and being a strong woman and not needing a man in her life. Like, come on, man, be real.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out.
Where can we find you, Lon?
You can find me on Instagram, Lon, L-A-N underscore like. Underscore L-A-W-N. That's Lon like Lon on Instagram or on my gaming page on Facebook at Italics Plays, I-I-T-A-L-I-X-P-L-A-Y-S. Also Instagram, I-I-T-A-L-I-X. We play video games every Friday and Saturday starting between 9 and 10 p.m. Pacific, and we stay up all night long.
All night long.
All night.
All right, Lon. That's all from us. Just want to say thank you to all listeners. Love you guys and be kind to one another.
Be kind and thank you. I am sad and sore.